For the delay, how's everyone going?
Yeah, we're all
Good, thank
good.
you.
We started the discussion and we were wondering, you know, how is it possible that this whole problem with translations and government translations specifically started? We were wondering, is it because they wanted to go on the cheap or like they relied on, I don't know, machine translation or, you know, so we were kind of like sharing some thoughts around that.
And what's the general perception? What does everybody think about it in a nutshell?
I think everyone agreed that the basic problem was the basic problem is actually the economic aspect. So there's probably not that there's probably no they really don't want to invest that sort of money or spend that sort of money on human translation. And of course, if they whoever is behind it, like government or whoever is providing information, if they can save some money using machine translation or these sort of services instead of a human translators, they will do it. Even though there's a lot at stake, like
It's
there's
the
people's lives.
perception that some professions are not somehow worth spending the money on. Also, you know, maybe what happened with the hotel quarantine, the perception that everyone can be a security guard, but that actually showed that not everyone can do it, that you need, you know, training and really, you know, a good formation for anything, for any kind of job, any profession.
I would actually find it really hard to believe that the government is taking the risk of not using NATI certified translators. It would be very stupid for them to do it. A lot of the issues that came up in the newsletter articles, they actually, in my opinion, working in project management, they come from a lack of quality control within the translation agency. There was one of the issues that came up was an Arabic layer that had text in Farsi, and that's such a common issue during the translation process. The translator the translation in a Word document together with another 20 languages. The project manager would send those 20 documents to a graphic designer. How easy is it for a graphic designer to mix up a couple of Word files during that graphic design process? Normally, those PDFs get sent back to the translators to check. What happens is that translation companies can often not realize the importance of these steps, especially if they are under a lot of pressure. And during COVID times, there has been a huge amount of pressure on translation companies to get things done really, really, really quickly. So that has been my experience since March. Everything needs to be done sometimes within 4 or 5 hours. It's so easy to just say, oh, let's just keep the last step. It ruins the work of the translator. It puts us in a really bad position, but I personally think it's mainly the translation agency's job. Having said
Yeah.
that, I've actually just last week had a meeting with OSCE. So I'm part of the committee, and one of the committee members, she's actually a lecturer in RMIT, and she was saying that her students that don't have NATI certification yet, they are working as interpreters in many Melbourne hospitals. So she was raising this issue, which makes me think maybe they are using non-certified translators also for government communications. But I really think it would be so stupid for them to do it. I actually don't believe they're not using professional translators.
I think it's more common with interpreting, like also like in my experience, I was with an agency as a translator, And they asked me to do some interpreting job before I had the accreditation. So that's my experience is more common with interpreting. But I think it's so important what you're talking about. You know, and we were talking about this before as well today, how it's more an issue of the translation project as a whole. So with the project management aspect and all the graphic design aspects as well, that they're really easy to skip. And as you said, then you reflect bad on the translator if something goes wrong, even though the translator did a perfect job, maybe.
Yeah, but it's... Yeah, when it comes to translation, it's not just the translator. The role of the project manager is so, so important. But at the same time, what Julia was saying about the price being very important, I agree. I agree. A lot of government bodies would go for the cheapest. And the cheapest probably means that there's no independent checking. Or there's no community checking. So that comes with another set of issues. You know, when there's... idiomatic expressions that are not quite right or terminology that it's not the best option, that comes down to the translator not working as a team with someone else that can that can give each other different perceptions and make decisions on terminology. That's really important as well. These kind of projects, it's really not a one-person job. When clients want things done so quickly, it's very easy to just say, okay, well, we'll just get this done within a couple of hours and off you go. And you can't do that.
Yeah, and it's also interesting that, again, yeah, it's not just the translation, you know, word by word. It's like there's been so many slogans as well during this COVID crisis, like, you know, things that need to grab the attention of people very quickly. And I think a lot of those slogans don't really work when they have translated into another language. I buy the global newspaper all the time and they publish these, the government ads. And yeah, some of the slogans were really awkward, I think.
There's only so much you can do, right, when it comes to translating a slogan. Because then if you separate too much from the source document and someone picks it up, they're going to come back to you as well. It's quite difficult. Very interesting. Yesterday I was on Facebook and I got an ad from Daniel Andrews with a Spanish poster with all the coronavirus symptoms. And one of the symptoms was cut off halfway through the sentence. And I thought, how can you get this wrong? It was just one sentence was a little bit too long. And again, the graphic designer would have missed some of it. Some of the text was hidden and no one realized. I just commented on the Facebook, on the Facebook ad, you should check your translations.
Yeah, I'm sure that the translator did a good job in that case. But then, yeah, if they just forgot to make the text box larger, then it just disappears. And
exactly. There's no reason why the translator would leave a sentence unfinished. It's definitely a graphic design issue, but then if they don't send the files back to the translator to check, anything can happen.
And Christina, before you were saying though that sometimes there's some basic language issues as well that you notice with Romanian, for example.
Yes, and it is a bit... I don't quite get why is it so hard to do it the right way. Let's just put it that way. Just do it the right way and it's not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah, I wonder really what needs to change, I don't know, at the level of, who takes the decisions in order to... for things to go smoothly.
I think there's a lot of education that needs to be done. And unfortunately, that's for us to do. Clients and really the people that end up ordering translations on behalf of government organizations, most of them are monolingual. They know nothing about the translation industry. They know nothing about languages. They know very little about different cultures. So I think we need to take the role of educators. And that's a lot of the work that I do on LinkedIn, because I think that's the only way to advance the industry, unfortunately, because we have amazing professionals here and we're not being recognized.
I think you touched on an important issue, the recognition of the as a profession. Other professions have are properly recognized, and they have, you know, they some even have the law behind them, and that's probably, well, and some a few countries do have that. There are in some countries you will see that, but not that many. But I think the recognition by the government that if you need to translate something and there should be, you know, clearly stated, then you must go to a translator. Otherwise, you can't. I know that we have, you know, the NADI certification for, you know, driver's license and these official documents, but it should be a proper, should exist as a proper profession and recognized, and have, the fees should be regulated as well. It should be a regulated profession, and it's not a regulated profession. My husband is a CPA, Certified Practicing Accountant. You can't, if you're not a CPA or a CA, as the Chartered Accountant, you can't go and just do a tax return or do a whatever, because you're not, it's a regulated profession. And I think that's what's missing. This and education as well is very, very important, but there's also the regulation of the profession, I believe.
That's really interesting. It actually came up when we were talking at this OSIT meeting the other day about interpreters not having certification and then NATI certified interpreters not having any work. We were talking about the lack of accountability that translation agencies have. So translators do have to have a NATI certification. I wouldn't work with a translator that doesn't have a NATI certification. But not only that, if the translator, and this is my personal opinion, I work with translators that are native speakers into the language that we are translating, especially in community translations, right? But there's no one out there making sure that as an agency, I'm only engaging NATI certified translators. So agencies can do anything they want. Clients might be requesting NATI certified translations. Client might be saying, yeah, here's the price for your NATI certified translation, and then get the translations done anywhere. And no one would know unless the client holds the agency accountable and asks for their NATI credentials. But clients are not, I think they're not educated enough. Those that have had really bad experiences in the past would want to know as much as possible. But those that don't quite care because they just want to tick the box, they won't know and they don't care. I've had government agencies ask for translation quotes, and when I tell them it's going to have NATI certification, they ask me, what is that?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think this should also be, you know, with a lot of professions, it's like, okay, this is the time that it takes me to do my job and like all the different steps that I need to get to my final job, and that should also be with translation, that, you know, for example, for certain jobs, to do proofreading and editing, or, you know, to double check the graphic result at the end, that there should be a must, and like you need to give me enough time, or, you know, enough also resources to employ all these people that need to make sure that all these steps can take place. And if those resources are not allocated, then I can't do the job, because this is all like the same package pretty much. But yeah, it's a long way to go still. Seems pretty straightforward, like this is the job and this is how we do it, but yeah. But, you know, all the people here are, you know, students, master students or PhD students, and they're really learning to, I guess, follow this due diligence. Julia, did you want to add something? I saw that.
Yeah. Now, the other thing is that I think when we address this topic, as painful as it can be for us, but we have to recognize that it's always been a big issue. Like, if you buy a book that has been translated, where's the name of the translator? You don't really see it. If you do see it, it's like written in that, maybe is it that big if you're lucky, or maybe at the back of the book, or like maybe just at the bottom of the page, if anything. So I think it's all about, as Christina was saying, the recognition of the profession and how important the profession is is considered to be. That's, unfortunately, we can't really change that. It's been like that forever, like since, I don't really remember all this importance given to translators and interpreters. Maybe back in the old times, in the history, but I still believe that's a quite common and
do you think it's like bad publicity and, you know, also the media articles that came out about these bundles and stuff, they will kind of put some pressure to on the government?
No, I'm not following. What do you mean?
Like, because they basically had all these problems with translations, and so then there were media articles, you know, a certain debate even on TV. Do you think that, not just you, but in general, you guys, do you think that this can put some pressure on the government or, like, in general companies, bodies, to pay more attention, because otherwise it's, like, bad for their reputation?
I would hope that helps raising awareness, definitely. I would hope so. It could be a first step, especially if the consequences are bad. Like, the worse the consequences, the better for the translators that could be. Because if, let's say, a mistake made by a machine translation a program, for example, leads to, I don't know, a community not getting help, or someone dying, or, you know, if there's serious consequences, that's where finally there's going to be a bit more focus on the importance of having someone professional translating those documents, if that makes sense.
I didn't follow the story very closely when that I didn't follow the story very closely when that came out, Giulio, but with the errors in the Arabic and Farsi, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Did they say anything about how the document was translated? What happened? As in, was there any information about why and how that error was allowed to happen? Was there anything?
I'm personally not that familiar with the episode we are talking about. Like, I heard about it, but actually didn't read that much about it. But it is a big issue. I hope that could be a wake up call. As you said, you know, all this pressure, as Margarita was saying, it could be putting a bit of pressure on government bodies to say, listen, let's
get this right.
Let's recognize that the cultural aspects, it's important to have cultural awareness, and that if there's anyone that has a cultural awareness, that's a translator. or the interpreter.
Sonia, in your experience, what are the problems, the worst things that can happen? Julia said that maybe if really big problems happen, this can be good for translators in a sense because it raises awareness. In your experience, what are the worst problems that can happen if translations go bad?
My experience, so articles like the one that got published last month, it actually damages us a lot more than it benefits. It raises awareness, but if you pay attention to the tone of the article, it's all blaming the translator. It's not. It's very interesting when someone was asking just before, did they explain anything about how these issues happened? It doesn't matter. No, they didn't. They didn't. And guess what? They didn't really ask another translator. They didn't get in touch with the OSCID, for example. They didn't get in touch with Nati to ask their point of view.
So it's a half-baked story, really.
Yes.
To fit their whatever interest or agenda or whatever. That's what it is. That's what I asked because I was curious whether what was the story? Was the story told? How did that happen? Was it because it was machine translation? Was it because it was someone who wasn't perhaps certified? Or I don't know. I'm just because I can't remember seeing anything. What I followed, but then I thought maybe there was more and I didn't see it, but I don't remember seeing anything to admit, is this a Google Translate product or what happened there? How did that happen actually? So that's,
I remember one of the comments in the article was that I think there was an Arabic organization that claimed that there were sentences that were nonsensical. When you work with checkers, when you pair up with a colleague, you want anything but this doesn't make sense. That's not constructive feedback. That tells me nothing. And for Arabic, which is a language spoken in 20 different countries, what are you trying to say? What is nonsensical to you might be very much sensical for another 19 communities. You know what I mean? It was very vague. I found it really insulting because they're not really taking the time to understand what are the real issues. Another of the mistakes that they pointed out, they actually provided the bad translation of a sentence in Chinese. And I looked at that sentence and I thought, well, you might have a point, but you might not, because doing a back translation from Chinese doesn't tell us anything. Chinese is such a completely different language from English that a back translation in community translation, it doesn't really do anything to improve the quality of the text. So for me, the issue with the Arabic and Farsi in the poster, that was very obvious. But the other issues, I don't know if some of you guys have looked at the actual issues and whether you agree or not. But from a project management point of view, if I had done these translations with my team and this newspaper or our client would have come to us saying, we got this feedback, you need to fix it up. I take that feedback with a grain of salt and really get back to the client and ask for more information. You need to tell me exactly what you're trying to say, because telling me that is nonsensical, it's not a very constructive way to approach the work that I do. You know what I mean? Am I making sense? Am I the only one that gets offended?
From a journalistic point of view, you're right as well that they didn't contact the other side, like an association like OSCID or Nati, to get their perspective on this. But you shared the article before on the chat, so thank you for that. If someone hasn't read it, it's in the chat.
Yeah, I think that's the same article. That's the same news Sonia just mentioned. Regarding the Chinese translation, I think it's very apparent that particular sentence they just use like machine translation, because it's the exactly the same structure as the English language, basically like information provided in your language, and they just use the exact structure in Chinese. But of course, in Chinese language, that doesn't make sense. It's just like information supplied your information, which is, you know, the SVO just totally messed up. So that's why I think I thought it's Google Translate, which is very surprising because it's a very simple translation. Like, it's not complicated. So just couldn't work out why, how that happens. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just thinking I might be wrong, but I mean, if a translator thinks it's Google Translate, it's most likely Google Translate, right? Because you know how the language works. You know, I've actually had instances where we translate a fact sheet, right? And we translate the fact sheet into 20 languages. We spend 1 month doing translations, community checking, graphic design, huge project. At the end of it, when we've delivered everything, the client realizes that they haven't translated this introductory sentence, for example, information available in your language, to put on their website to introduce all the fact sheets. And they don't have budget anymore. They're late with their project. Next week they had to start reporting. The fact sheets need to go online tomorrow. What do we do? What do we do? I wouldn't be surprised if at that point they decide to actually go to Google Translate. Oh yeah, because this is a very simple sentence. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah, because normally they might just say, oh, that's just the, so the introduction, this is where you can find very easy. Yeah, that's not actually the content itself. So that's a good point. They might just assume pretty straightforward. Yeah, yeah.
So I really, really, really don't want to think that they're getting translations done without certified translators. Mm-hmm. It is possible, but I am kind of trying to make up different arguments because it, for me, it's just so hard to believe that they would risk so much by just using Google Translate. But when they don't realize the implications of good translations, if they leave something behind them, I think, oh, well, we can just get this very simple sentence done in Google.
Yeah, I think that's a very common scenario. Like in other cases, I had a client sending me just a sentence, like completely out of context from a translation that someone else had done. And then they forgot this piece. And it's like, oh, can you just quickly do it? And it's like, well, okay, but these words, I need the context in order to translate them properly. But it's really a struggle to make them understand this. Mm. Another thing that I thought it was really interesting, it's the that soon after these problems and these media articles about translations came out, there was this other discourse from the Minister of Citizenship or whatever it's called now, immigration and so on, that's, that basically said that we need to improve the English skills of migrant communities and, you know, give more fundings to those English programs, which, you know, I think it's okay. But in a way, the timing of these announcements was a little bit suspicious in that, okay, we couldn't get these translations right, so you need to learn English. I don't know if the two things are connected, but I just found the timing interesting.
It's definitely a really good way to avoid taking responsibility, right? They're putting their responsibility back in the community. Mm-hmm. We're doing this because we've been nice, but really you should be learning the language. I think that's the message.
Yeah, I think it's a really divisive message personally.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's great. It's great for people to learn English, but it would be naive to think that it's just a matter of funding. People have their lives and their jobs and they have to pay their rent and have feed their kids, and not everybody can actually take the time to learn the language. But in an ideal world, yeah, you want people to learn the language.
Yeah, I think that's really good to, you know, strengthen the English skills of, you know, all communities. But I also think that that's missing the point because, you know, that's not the issue. And especially in a country that keeps saying, you know, that they're multicultural and all that and doesn't have an official language because, okay, English is kind of like the de facto language of Australia. But really, in reality, there's no official language. And so to say we're going to focus on that rather than, you know, on getting the translation and the communication to multicultural communities right, that's a little bit of a shortcut, I think.
And, yeah. And like you say, it's two separate issues.
And then, you know, not everyone... Even if people know the language to a functional level, not necessarily they'll be able to access certain, you know, really specific information in English. And so I think, yeah, the issue of translation remains, and that needs to get to be done right for sure. Mm-hmm. And there are the thing is that there are lots of professionals who can do this, and so it's just a matter of letting them do their job properly.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of caring. If everybody involved in the translation process cares enough for these communities, I think we will be at a much better place right now. It's really all about respecting different cultures, respecting their communities and caring about them.
So Sonia, do you think like, because do you think if there are more people like you, I mean, more companies like you, you know, already in the industry, like more people like you, you know, going to tell people about this job, to educate, to speak up about this job, like you mentioned about before the publicity, do you think that will be changed? Because I feel like sometimes lots of the translators or interpreters, they might work freelance. It's very hard to feel like it's, they are in the industry. It's not self-regulated, the fee and everything. So maybe like all the firms and companies like you guys in the industry, maybe to have a like a maybe national forum, that sort of thing, to talk to people, maybe that might get people to know better about this industry. I don't know. Yeah, it's all this regulation and the recognition. Yeah.
I definitely think that translation companies need to take a lot more responsibility in the industry. 100%. I work as a translator as well, less and less now, but I have for quite some time. And I never quite enjoyed working with agencies because it's very transactional. They want you to make their life easier. And that means receiving a purchase order with a Word document, translating it within the timeline, not asking any questions and sending it back. As soon as you start asking questions, they're not very interested. You don't really get a briefing. You don't really get any information. If you are unsure or you give feedback about the source document, they see that as an inconvenience because they need to get back to the client to ask questions or to ask for modifications. The way I see it, translators and agencies need to work together as a team. And ideally, translators need to be part of the resource development from the very beginning. So what we're doing now, I'm actually developing some questionnaires. So we do some sort of cultural adaptation before we translate. So rather than sending a document for translation and that's it, I like to send the document to the translators and ask for feedback on the source document. is there anything here that doesn't sit quite right in your community? Do we need to make any changes to the language, or do we need to tweak anything? Do we need to add extra information? Like if you're writing a document about, I don't know, preventing breast cancer, and you want people to go and get a mammogram, and you tell them, book an appointment with your GP, what happens if this community is newly arrived in Australia and they don't know how to access a GP? The whole resource, it doesn't matter how well it's been translated, there's a gap there and they're not going to be able to access the information. A lot of this information, the translator will know. The problem is that agencies don't give us a voice. They don't give us that credibility or that, even just that channel to be able to provide feedback and to be heard. So what happens over the years is that we all end up receiving a document, getting the PO, translating it, not asking any questions and sending it back. Eventually, once you've done this for 30 years, I can totally see myself not caring so much anymore because no one cares. If I am the last person in the chain and I'm the only one who cares and I can't really change anything, why should I care? And I think older translators become a lot like that because no one is giving them a voice. So I definitely put a lot of this responsibility on the translation companies. I've worked with them as a translator, I've worked in them as a project manager, and then I have created my vision of what I think it should be like. And I can tell you the results are so different. It pays to care, really. Because once you care and the translators that you work with realize that you care, they care as well. And there's a collaborative work between everybody, including the client. Once you take the time to explain to them what's really involved, I've had so many clients telling me, oh, I didn't realize that this is what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah. Is that why you started your own company? It's really great to hear your vision and, you know, like you said, to have all these initiatives and the caring to become an active part. So that's it's great to hear. Yeah,
that's really inspiring. Yeah. Does anyone have any questions for Sonia, even people that maybe haven't spoken so far? I realize that it's 5 o'clock, so some of you might have to go soon. I was wondering, Sonia, if you think that maybe the code of ethics, where it says that translators shouldn't, you know, add anything to the translation, and obviously that's meant to say that we shouldn't alter the original message, does that also maybe psychologically impact on the translators who refrain to express their opinion and, as you said, have a voice even when they think that the original text doesn't really work so well?
Absolutely, yeah, it does. I've had before, I mean, projects are never perfect. I've had worked on a translation project about domestic violence, and after we've done translation, community checking, blah, 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 the whole process, the client got back to us with feedback. There was a term that we used that was offensive. I went back to the translator and I told him, what happened? How could you put something that is offensive? And he said, well, it's a translation of what's in the source. I can't change the source. And I was like, oh my God, but don't put something that you know it's going to be offensive for your community. So after that, what I have done is always, when I send a purchase order, I tell people, if something is not quite right, tell me. Because then what happens is that the translator is going to put their responsibility on the source text and on the client, because, and they get offended as well. We get offended, or they don't know my culture, but if they want me to translate this, then that's what I'm doing. But then the client, they actually think that we are going to make adjustments for their culture because they don't understand the translation process. So then what happens is that no one's really taking responsibility. But when you explain to people, I want you to tell me what you think, we are very flexible with the source document. It doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want. It just means that if something is not quite right, you need to tell me and I will deal with the client and we'll sort it out. But at the end of the day, we rely on translators to give us their expertise. And then as an agency, we'll have to manage that process, explain it to the client. And 99% of the time, clients are flexible to make small adjustments. They just need to know.
Yeah, it's really interesting. There is that aspect, I guess, of, you know, cultural mediator, that it's important. And I think even on, in translation courses and in interpreting courses, here in Australia, I found that not always it gets there's no focus on that, not so much compared to maybe my experience in Europe. Mm. I don't know if other people have had the same experience.
I haven't really worked much in Europe.
Yeah, me neither so much, but it's more like from a, I guess, training point of view that usually, especially like in terms of bachelor's degree, like the degrees in translation studies start as a cultural and linguistic mediation to really focus that importance of also carrying cultural aspects across when you translate or you interpret.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And focusing on the effect that your translations are going to have, not so much on the words that you use. If a word is offensive, well, the English text is not meant to be offensive. Why is suddenly your translation becoming offensive? The loyalty needs to be on the effect of the translation rather than on the language.
Yeah, I do think that these theories get taught a bit everywhere, but then maybe also that fear of being unethical comes into place, and sometimes.
So. Yeah. Well, my advice is discuss it. If you're not quite sure about something, if you know it doesn't work in your culture, in your language, just let your project manager know, let the client know. Don't make any changes. Don't add any extra information to the original text. I agree you shouldn't do that, but you can advocate for that if you have a reason for it. I think that's the key here.
Agreed. Any other points that you would like to touch on before we say goodbye?
I think we've covered a lot. Feel free to share my email address if anyone wants to ask anything later on. I'll be more than happy.
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat.
Oh, great.
I have one more point, because recently, because of these COVID-19 press conferences, I can see lots of articles they're talking about, asking about, you know, the sign language, you know, the sign translators. I feel like suddenly, like all this, you know, recognition for this particular sign language translator are really getting recognized. maybe this is the moment as well for the general translation interpreting businesses as well, if we say get recognized or regulated. I feel like lots of people are starting to talk about, especially, you know, all this, oh, that translation, oh, doing a great job, you know, on the spot, doing the, you know, so maybe this is the momentum as well because of this virus pandemic. Yeah.
I agree. We need some good press. Anyone here knows any good?
Yeah.
Journalists here that could.
Publicity.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should all get in touch with, you know, maybe, I don't know, SBS from our languages and see if we can spread the voice.
There you go. I think that's important. Educating clients, I think that's so important. Never miss an opportunity to educate your clients on what happens behind the scenes and how complex our job is.
Absolutely. So go and spread the word, everyone. Thank you, Sonia. And if no one has any further questions, I'll just let you go and enjoy your hour. What is it, still 1 hour now of everyday walk? So
yeah, 1 hour exercise.
Yeah, I usually go for a little walk after work. Thank you everyone for joining, and thank you, Sonia. Thank you for you know, volunteering your time and come and talk to us.
No, thank you for having me. It was great to meet you, and it was a very interesting chat. I loved it. I'm sorry that I was a bit late. I got the time mixed up.
Thank
That's
you.
That's all good.
Thank
we
you,
will
Sonia.
Do it again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sonia.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, thank you. Bye.